tonight. Keep your Bibles. I want to go to several places tonight. Wednesday night, a lot of times, is Bible study. I want to kind of study tonight about an unusual character, one of the most unusual characters in the Bible, one that requires a lot of questions, and a lot of people has used to teach a lot of different doctrines about. I want to preach on Judas Iscariot tonight. I want to look at some things. We've looked in the past on some spiritual issues, and you know, the Bible says some strange things about Judas that doesn't say about anybody else. One is that when he died, he went to his own place, which raises a lot of questions. Also, it refers to him as a son of prediction. Now, the only other person that it ever refers to that is the Antichrist. And we've looked at some comparison, we've looked at some things that raises a lot of red flags about, is he going to be the one that's going to be resurrected as the Antichrist? Is Satan going to use him? But we know that the Bible says he was a devil, and even from the beginning. But the most unusual thing is how that the Lord chose him. The Bible doesn't, Jesus was very careful many times of pointing out the fact that he was the one that's going to betray him before he ever betrayed him. But tonight I want to look at a couple things, if you would, in John chapter 13. Now Jesus is he's eaten the last Passover with his disciples. And before he does what we refer to as the Lord's Supper, he eats the Passover meal. And at the end of the Passover meal, Judas leaves before he actually does the Lord's Supper. I think that's important because the Lord's Supper should be done among the church. But I want to point one thing out tonight when we look. If you would, let's begin reading verse number 18. And keep your Bibles because I want to go some places and look at some things. In verse number 18, Jesus speaking says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit. Now notice that. He was troubled in the spirit. And he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I will give sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Look back, if you would, and notice, if you would, in verse number 27. The Bible says, after the sop, what? Satan entered into him. Now keep your finger there a moment and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, we find this same occurrence taking place. And the Bible says this in verse number 1 of chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered what? Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now, so here we find two places referring to the same situation when Satan entered into Judas. I want to look at that, and I want to share with you a thought or two, if you don't mind. Now, first of all, notice that you know that Judas was one of the 12 disciples. Now, also, the Bible talks about here that Satan entered into him at this point in time when he betrayed Jesus. What led up to that betrayal? Now, you young people, listen to me, because this is important. Sometimes you think you're out of the scope. But Satan goes about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to listen very carefully, because it's a dangerous situation out there with Satan on the loose. Somebody says, well, he can't reach me. Well, he can reach all of us. We need to be very careful. Now, the word Iscariot comes from southern Judea. Now, Judas was the only one of the 12 that was not from Galilee. That was another thing that was unusual about Judas. And always it refers to his name. Now, he's mentioned in all the four Gospels, and it's mentioned that he would betray Jesus, and several things mentioned about him. So it is important that we know that, because God wants us to know those things. Now, if you look in Mark chapter 3, and I'm going to take you through the Bible, so just keep with me a little bit. Look in Mark chapter 3. We find Jesus is called, and some people think this is where Jesus calls together and establishes a church. He goes up, because from this point on, he begins to meet and house to house with his disciples. He took them up, and he ordained them up on the mountain. But notice, if you would, in chapter 3, and the Bible says in verse number 16, he goes on in verse 14, skip up there, and says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to what? To preach, and to have power to what? Heal sicknesses, and to what? Cast out devils. Now notice here in verse 16, it starts with Peter. And it begins to name all 12 of the apostles and disciples. Always in the Bible, the last one mentioned is in verse 19. Is who? Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him and went into his house. So whenever we find, the word apostle means sent one. They were sent. Now the Bible says he sent the 12. Now that throws us. But let me say this. Satan can work through human beings to work miracles. You better beware of Benny Hinn and people like that. Somebody said, well, I saw him do a miracle. Well, the Antichrist is going to do miracles too, and so is false prophet. But just because they do miracles don't mean they're of God. Judas went through preaching, evidently. Somebody said, I've heard people say, well, Judas never did preach. He just carried the bag. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He preached, he healed, he cast out devils. Now, you've got to understand, this was at the beginning of the ministry. Now, notice here just a moment, just like Balaam. Balaam was a prophet that went to hell. And so it confuses people, because sometimes people said, well, they must have been saved. No, sometimes people can be used as not saved. And God, Jesus knew from the very beginning that Judas was going to be a devil, and that he was going to be used of the devil. Over and over and over, the Old Testament prophesied. And he chose. He said, have I not chose you 12 and one of you a devil? He knew from the beginning what was going on.
Amen.
That's kind of confusing to us a little bit. But now look on. And notice here that he gave them authority. Now look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 10. Because again, we find the same thing. In Matthew chapter 10, we find Jesus sending out the 12. Now the 12 included Judas. The Bible says in verse number 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and manner of disease. Now the names of the apostles are these. The first is Simon Peter again. And the last, if you notice in verse number 4, is Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And notice that, boy, isn't that a mark to carry in your name? Everywhere your name is, the name that you're going to be. But what Jesus wanted them to understand is, he knew that from the beginning that he would betray him. Now notice he would as well here in verse number 7 and 8 on down chapter 10. The Bible says, and he said, and as ye go, he's talking to the 12. He says, and as you go, as a matter of fact, look in verse 5, you'll find that out. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, and he went in verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely ye give. Now, and so he told them there to do that. Now, notice that Judas was the one that held the bag. If you look in chapter 12 of John, I'm going to turn you back and forth, so stay with me. In chapter 12 of John, look in verse number 6. In verse number 4, the Bible says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should what?
Betray
him. He wanted us to know that he wasn't shocked. He wasn't caught by surprise. This was something that was already foretold. And notice here, he says in verse 5, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was what?
A thief.
Now get this a minute. How is Satan going to reach Judas? Judas had a lust. Judas had a desire. He was a what? Thief. He loved money. He held the bag. He was a thief, and occasionally he would take money because he had the heart of a thief. When the Bible speaks of having a being a thief or something, it means that you have a heart to do that. In other words, you have a desire. You're fulfilling your lust. That's what's high on your list. The Bible says he was a thief. Now we do know that the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Now you young people, listen to me a moment. I have seen a lot of young people. The Bible says that riches profit not in the day of wrath. I've seen a lot of people start their life out with a desire to be rich and destroy their souls. Money is not everything. I remember when I was growing up, when I was out of the will of the Lord, I was in college. When I was in college, I went through college taking civil engineering. My second year in college, I had two professors that was engineers. They asked me if I would take and join them and form an engineering firm. My second year in college, I was a student. 5 out of 7 classes I had was with those two engineers. And so I went together my second year of college, and I was playing basketball, going to school, and it was paying my way through college. And I joined an engineering firm. And so during the day, I would go out and I would do surveys. And I would go out, my job was going out to bid the jobs and so forth. And our engineering firm just took off. We were making big money. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I thought by the time I was 30 years old, I would be a millionaire. That's the type of money that it began to show idea of making. We got hooked up with coal companies where we were making just thousands of dollars. And my life was not where it needed to be with God. We were putting everything back into the engineering firm at that time. I was bringing home $240 a week, which was pretty good money at that time. And everything else we would put back into the engineering firm. And I was thinking, the way it was going and the way everything was working, that I would be a millionaire by the time I was 30. But my job, as I said, would go out into the bid. And so they got where they were greedy, the engineers. Now, the good part about it, I guess you won't call it a good part, was 5 of my classes in college was with them. And so I was out surveying. They said, well, if I was able to do all that, I was able to pass their classes. So they give me straight A's. I was a 4.0 student in my second year in college. And I showed up the last day of college, and people said, are you in this class? We haven't seen you all year. And here I was making 4.0 average. But my point is this. My mind was thinking money. But they got where I would go out and bid according to the process that we had. And they started jacking the price up just to make more money. And I told them, I said, I can't do that. So I told them, just figure my part out, and I walked away from it. Because I told them, I said, when I tell somebody something, I still, even though I wasn't right with God, I still wanted my word to be my word. I was always raised that way, that when you told somebody you do something for something, you did it. And so then I left and I began with the ambulance service. And then I decided that I would, after I got involved in it, I started paramedic class and I started teaching paramedic class. Then I decided I was going to go to be a physician assistant. And I decided I was going to start taking classes. And because at that time, physician assistants made about $100,000, $150,000 a year. And I was thinking, good money. But then during that time is when God got a hold of my heart and he called me to preach. And God just, I had to weigh it out. And at that time, I had to give all that up. Because I realized that money wasn't everything in life, and God began to deal with me. They asked me to be chief. I was having to work on Sundays and so forth, and I wasn't going to church much at all, and then God just began to stir my heart, and I rededicated my life, then God called me to preach. Then they came to me and asked me if I would run the ambulance service. Well, when they offered me a job of being chief of the ambulance service, I averaged $3 and something an hour. And I went down, and even all my employees was making more money than I was. But I took it because it got me off on every Sunday. And I asked the Lord to provide, before I got that, when God, I gave my life and rededicated my life to God, I asked God to make a way where I didn't have to work on Sundays. And they come and ask me to be chief. I had to give a lot of things up. But what happened was, over a period of time, is never asking anybody for a nickel, God continued to bless and provide. I wonder sometimes, had I pursued money, where this church would be. I wonder where my children would be. I wonder where my grandchild, I wonder where some of your children would be. You see, Judas, he was a thief. Money was a great temptation for him. And so here we find that the Bible says that he was able to do that, but now you got to remember what the disciples all thought. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom. And in that kingdom, they would have a great position. As a matter of fact, turning your Bibles, even after the resurrection of Jesus, they still thought that. Look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, notice what they asked Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time what?" You see, they were there thinking that they were going to be part of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, what was going on in the midst of them was this. If you look back in chapter 16 of Matthew, turn back there just a moment, in Matthew chapter 16, and notice what was going on in the minds of the disciples behind the scene. In Matthew chapter 16, let me get over there. Notice if you would in verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and he raised again the third day." Now, here he wanted them to understand that he was going to have to die. But before that, notice what they were saying in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, turn over there a moment. I told you you're going to have to turn in your Bibles. Luke chapter 9. Notice if you would in verse number 46. The Bible says, talking about the disciples, "And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should" what? "Be greatest." In other words, they were talking among themselves behind the scene. As a matter of fact, John and James' mother went to Jesus and said, "Can my sons have your right and left hand when you set in your kingdom?" They were behind the scene thinking of what position they're going to have when Jesus gets his kingdom. Then all of a sudden, Jesus began to tell them he's going to die. Now, Judas was probably thinking, if he's going to die, I'm not going to get no position here. Now, he was carrying a bag. He was carrying the money. Now, notice if you would, in Luke chapter 22. Again, turn over there just a moment. In Luke chapter 22, we read this once, but I want to read again. Look if you would in verse 3. "Then, after Jesus had told them he was going to die, he met with them in the upper room. He's going to die and be offered up. And he was eating a meal with them. Then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to do" what? Oh, thief. Love of money. How was Satan going to get this guy to betray? He wasn't going to have the kingdom. Jesus is going to die. He's telling me he's going to die. He's going to go and they're going to offer him up and kill him. So he's going to lose. He's going to lose a possibility of making money in the kingdom. So then after that, Judas went right out when he began to hear that he was going to die. And he went out to the chief priests and the Pharisees. He said, "Hey, what will you give me money-wise if I betray him?" Why did he do that? Love of money. Somebody said, well, 30 pieces of silver was worth about $19.70. A price of a slave. That ain't much. Listen to me. Satan usually buys people through their lust very cheap. And by the way, lust is not just lust for drugs and alcohol or sex. Money, power, prestige, all kinds of things. You understand? Now, notice here that Judas, here, he had a desire for money. He was a thief. That's where his heart was. And so when he saw he wasn't going to prosper in the kingdom, he sold himself out and betrayed Jesus. Now, notice if you would, in Matthew chapter number 27. After he did this, in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible says in verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus, put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. Now notice this. He was condemned. Repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went, and what? Now listen to me. People follows their lust. They find it, and it disgusts them. When they get and they think they wanted something bad enough, and Satan gets them, then he came to destroy. And how many people takes their life because they have been so miserable in fulfilling a lust that they had? They get to the point, they look and they say, what have I done? And they see no way out. The word repent here is a word in Greek which means to have the sorrow of this world. In other words, he was sorry toward himself that he had done this. He didn't repent unto God. He repented to himself. He was sorry that he had sold, because when he was around, now get this a minute, when he was around Jesus, he knew Jesus was special.
Yes, he did. Amen.
He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, we talk sometimes in Matthew chapter 12 about the unpardonable sin. The Pharisees took a light, an enlightenment of God, of who Jesus was, and they rejected it to such a gross degree that they had no hope of ever being saved. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. When they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, you might blaspheme the Son of God and be forgiven. But when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you'll not be forgiven in this world, neither the world to come. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost, now stay with me a minute, it's important. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is when you blaspheme the only means you have of being saved. The only means you have of being convicted. The Holy Ghost was sent to convict you of your sin, to draw you unto God, and if he doesn't draw you, you can't come. And when you so insult the Holy Ghost with what you've done, he departs. And he doesn't convict you. Now, notice if you would, that the Pharisees committed this. I've heard some people say only the Pharisees could commit that. That's not true. Cain committed it. Cain knew who God was. But he raised up and he slew innocent blood when he knew he was wrong. In rejection of God and God's ways. And the Bible says that he went the way of Cain. And remember that Cain did the same thing Judas did. He repented himself. And in Genesis chapter 4, he talked about how that what God did was too great a punishment for him. Remember that? Esau, again, did the same thing. He knew the things of God, yet he took his birthright and blessing that was so important, and he could have had such a rich life and spiritual life, but he rejected his spiritual life, and the book of Hebrews calls him a profane person. And he did the same thing. He rejected the guidance of God, and he would have killed Isaac or Jacob if he could have. But Jacob fled. We find over and over and over, when people rejected the light, for instance, in the days of Noah, the days of Lot. Now, isn't it interesting? Now, get this a minute. Isn't it interesting? In the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, when God sent the angels did not go to preach to the people. They went to rescue Lot. They didn't preach to a single person in Sodom. They knew that they were going to die and go to hell. What had happened to them? They had agreed God to such a degree, he turned them over. Romans chapter 1 says that he still does that. There are some actions that people goes against given light, revealed truth, and rejects God, that it so aggrieves God that he turns them over and he gives them up to a reprobate mind. A mind where they're no longer convicted.
Amen.
And so here you find Judas, that he followed along that trend. He gave himself over to money. He followed money. He had desire money. Now somebody asked me one time, said, you think Judas was saved? No, I don't. Don't think he was ever saved. Why did Jesus do that? Because Scripture had foretold that he would do that. Why did God do what he did? I don't understand all about Judas. But I do believe that the Bible says that he went in his own place. He was a son of perdition. And I believe that because if you read the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is going to be someone who's died and come back from the dead. And I believe that God may use Judas to do that. Why? Because Judas had such evil. Somebody said, well, he must have been pretty sorry about it. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 10, that there is a godly sorrow. There is a sorrow that only the Holy Ghost of God works in your heart and convicts you, and you truly repent. When that happens, you repent and you are saved. Because you have a godly sorrow. You're sorry toward God for what you've done. And when you repent unto God and have faith in Lord Jesus Christ, it saves your soul. And the Bible says that repentance is a repentance that need not be repented of again. But that's not what Judas had. What Judas had was a repentance unto himself. And he was sorry because he betrayed innocent blood. He knew Jesus was. And so he threw the silver back over there. It didn't amount to nothing anyway. But he was such a thief, whenever he thought about losing his position in the kingdom, he run out and sold himself. And you know what happened immediately when he decided to do that? Satan entered into him. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, Satan was with him from the very beginning. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the moment that Jesus said, one's going to betray me and go out and betray me, that when he handed him the sop, Satan entered into him, and he went out and he sold him. What'd he do? He sold himself to the devil. He gave himself completely to his lust. Now listen, let me say this, and I'll close. Somebody said, what does that have to do with us? Have you ever been around people that at one time they were in a position where they could have served God and followed God, and now you look at their life and it's completely for Satan? It still goes on today. That's the danger. And somebody say, well, how will he deal with me? According to your lust. What is it that draws you? Love of money, like Judas? 30 pieces of silver. My point is this. In looking at this, you need to understand, it's a dangerous thing to reject the Holy Spirit of God. There are people that sits right in your church pews that have rejected the Holy Spirit of God. They sit there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Everything said and preached goes right through them, right by them. Don't feel convicted about it at all. They're following something else in life. They're not seeking the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
It's a dangerous thing. Amen. And so tonight, I want you to take a look at Judas. And notice where he started. Somebody said, well, how did God use him? I don't understand all. But I'll say this, a bunch of these people running around here today that everybody said, well, I witnessed them do this. I don't care if you did. I have no confidence at all that God's anywhere around them. A bunch of them's nothing but thieves. And therefore, they're deceiving people. And just because they do something doesn't mean God's in it. So you need to be wise and be careful, amen. Let's stand and give a song of invitation, Brother Porter. You know, I think about people that had such opportunity. Remember Pharaoh? Opportunity he had, rejected Moses and the word of God that God sent by Moses. Over and over and over, people. How sad it is. I think about people, some in our own family, some maybe in our own church. Just sit there. Day after day, their heart somewhere else, their mind somewhere else, and they may be here physically, but they're not here spiritually. They're pursuing something else in life far, far greater in their heart and their mind. Need to be very careful, but need to be very wise. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Porter, if you would.